Well, a little league boy was playing first game of the season, and a ball was hit way, way out in the field, and he ran out there to get it and throws it back. And as he's walking back in, somebody hollers out to him. He says, "Hey, how's it going? What's the score?" And the little boy says, "Oh, it's great, but we're behind 17-0. And the guy says, "17-0, that's terrible." And the little boy says, "But we haven't even been up to bat yet." So that's what you call hope. And you know, a lot of us, we lose that kind of hope pretty quick. In fact, we live in a world that is so cynical. It's a world of skeptics where, you know, whatever you might say that is good or anything good that's happening, it's amazing how people can be skeptical and not really expect anything good to happen or anything good to come of it. So few in our generation actually believe in miracles. And the attitude of the day is, you know, well, I'll believe it when I see it. In fact, a lot of the time, even when we see things, they're not real, right? I mean, we're living in the day and the time of Photoshopped pictures and edited video where even if you saw it on tape, you saw the video, it doesn't make it real. And so it has taught so many of us to be skeptical, to be cynical. And I want to encourage you this morning, though, that as a believer, you should always have hope. Because when our hope is in the Lord, we're not going to be disappointed. God is faithful to His word and to His people. And we need to learn in this generation, this hour, to get our hopes up. That no matter what's going on in the world, we should always, as believers, have hope. Now, I'm not talking about being gullible, and I'm not talking about being swayed by people. You know, you certainly don't need to believe everything that you hear, I read it on the internet. Okay. We don't need to believe everything we see, everything we read or hear, but we do need to believe what God says. And we need to have a confidence, an expectation, an anticipation that God will fulfill His word to us. See, you can't put your hope in man. They will always let you down. Nobody has let me down more than me. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it doesn't matter how good somebody's intentions are. One way or another, they can disappoint you because they're not God. But I want to tell you that when our hope is in the Lord, we can be confident. We can expect that God will always come through. Hope. Hope is a powerful Christian virtue. That word has been so weakened and cheapened by the way that we use it in our culture. Because we use the word hope as a synonym for wish. I mean, every year, every fall, people start out wishing. But instead they say, "I hope the Cowboys will do better this year." I hope. But what they mean is I wish. Hope doesn't mean, wouldn't it be nice? No, biblical hope is much more than a wish. It is an anticipation. It is a conviction. It is an expectation. In other words, we're not just wishing that something would happen, but instead, because our hope is in God, we're expecting, we're anticipating it, we're looking for it. We have a conviction. We don't know how or when, but we know that God is faithful. And so we keep our hopes up. Don't let this world drag down your hope. It will make you discouraged. It'll make you weak. It'll make you depressed. It'll keep you from having endurance to do the things that God wants you to do. I'm telling you, you got to keep your hopes up. See, it's actually a saying in the world to say, don't get your hopes up. Don't get your hopes up. I mean, if something could go wrong, it's gonna. You know, it's all of that comes out of fear. You know, the enemy uses fear to control people, to deceive people, to manipulate. And I'm telling you, God wants us to always have hope. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And you know what? We've all had those times when what we had hoped seems to be put off. It's being deferred. It's way down the line. And it might be something to do with your family, something to do with your health, something to do with your finances. But whatever it is, it just seems like it's being put off and put off and put off. Hope deferred, the Bible says, makes the heart sick. Did you catch that last part? It makes the heart sick. I want you to know that's a very bad condition to be in when your heart is sick. Because out of the heart come the issues of life. That's what your life flows out of, is out of your heart. Jesus said the things of the heart are what come out in your life. And I'm just telling you, if your heart is sick, you know what the answer is? You need to get your hope back. You need to get your hope restored. And I hope this morning, amen, that that will happen in every heart and life here. Get your hope up. His word says in Isaiah 49:23, those who hope in me will not be disappointed. What a powerful verse of scripture. Those who hope in me will not be disappointed. You see, if you put your hope in man, if you put your hope in some organization, you put your hope in something, you put your hope even in a particular circumstance or situation, you can be disappointed. But when your hope is in the Lord, he says, when your hope is in me, you will not be disappointed. And where we get disappointed sometimes is we say that our hope is in the Lord. As long as he'll do it the way that I think he should, and as long as he'll, you know, get it done what I think needs to happen. Anybody ever have trouble with the Lord not doing what you told him to do? And it's amazing how that even when it is a God thing and God is going to do it, he so seldom does it the way I told him to. But he gets it done. And we can have confidence and know that God knows what's best and he will not disappoint us if our hope is truly in him. If we just keep hoping, just keep looking to him. Because even in the worst of times, he makes a way. Not our way, but he makes a way. He is the way maker. And we need to remember that he knows what he's doing. He knows the beginning and the end. And there's never been a time when God said, well, I didn't know that was going to happen. There's never been a time when he said, you know what, I'm really worried about this. There's never been a time when he said, oops. I'm just telling you that this is the God we serve, that he is all-knowing and he is all-powerful. That's never too late. It's never too far gone. There's not anything that he can't do. That's the one our hope is in. And get this, he loves us. Don't let the world talk you down from your hope. You better come down. You're going to hurt yourself. Don't let the world talk you down from your hope. When your hope is in God, you will not be disappointed. The things that are impossible with men, they're not impossible with God. So we can always have hope. You are his child. He wants the best for you. His plan, his will for you is good. Ephesians 1:18 in the NIV, it says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. See, we need to have our eyes open so we can really understand the hope that God has for us. Good things. That his plan for us is good. We need to get our eyes off of this world and what's going on in the world, and instead open our eyes to see the hope he's called us to. we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. No matter what we face, we can have hope. We ought to have an assurance, a conviction that God is for us. Is that in his word? He's for us, and he's going to bring us through to the other side. We're not supposed to stay in the valley of the shadow of death. Yeah, you're going to go through some things, but we have hope. We have an anticipation, even a conviction we're coming out on the other side. May not be able to see it with the natural eyes, but we know that it's so that God will not let us down. In Ephesians 2:12, it says that unbelievers are without hope and without God in the world. And you see, the two go hand in hand. To be without God is to be without hope. And how sad it is, what a terrible place to be, to have no hope and no God. Because when life takes a turn for the worse and tragedy happens, maybe a difficult situation that just goes on for 20, 30 years, and this is all they have, this is as good as it gets. No hope. Come to the end of the rope, no hope. I'm just telling you, it's a sad thing, especially when believers get in that place. They still have God, but somehow they've lost their hope. It doesn't matter what the situation, we should always have hope because our hope is in God. Don't give up on your dreams. Don't give up and think that God's not going to come through for you. See, a lot of people get to that place, they think no real love is ever going to happen for them, no real happiness, no real fulfillment in their lives, those dreams and visions never going to happen. I'm telling you, we got to get our hopes up. Jeremiah 29:11 in the NIV says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. You need to realize, a lot of times we just pull these verses out, and yes, it's a great promise, but you need to understand the context, because God did not give this great promise to his people when they were in a great place. When you're on the mountaintop, it's easy to talk about the great future, the great hope that God has for you, and how God's plans are good. Look at me now. But I'm just telling you, this was spoken to his people when they were in a terrible place. You see, they had turned their back on the Lord. They had worshiped other gods. And God had allowed them to be overrun by their enemies. And they've been taken into captivity. They are slaves. They're being ruled over by another people. And it's of their own doing. And God says to them, I have plans for you. They're good plans to give you a hope and a future. And you need to hear this morning. You see, one of the tricks of the enemy is to tell you that because you've made mistakes, because you've had some failures, because you missed some opportunities, because you didn't do everything right, this is your lot in life, and this is just the way it is. I want you to know the word of the Lord is just as true for you as it was for them, that God still has a hope and a future for you. Yes, you may have got yourself in a mess. You may have got yourself in what looks like a no way out situation, but God still has a hope and a future for you. And so we shouldn't ever give up our hope, but instead, get our hopes up. Don't lose hope. Everybody goes through difficult times, battles of all kinds. And a lot of people say experience is the best teacher. And I say this often because that is such a deception. Experience is not the best teacher by any means. At best, when you're saying that, you're saying the school of hard knocks. you know, when you get beat up enough, you're going to learn something. But the truth is that there's a whole lot of people my age that have learned the wrong things from experience, and they're just as messed up as ever. I mean, if experience was the best teacher, then people my age would be geniuses. And believe me, there's some of us who were not. We're still trying to figure some things out. In fact, the older I get, it's like the less I know. They tell me that has to do with mental decline. But anyway, I just realize more and more how much I don't know yet. But here's what I do know. The Holy Spirit is the best teacher. And the best way to learn something is from the Holy Spirit guiding you into truth and the Word of God. How much better that is. And here's what the Holy Spirit will teach you: to hope. Because one of the worst things that you can learn from experience is don't get your hopes up. Well, this happened and that happened, and I thought it was going to be like this, and then everything went south. And you learn not to hope. It's the wrong thing to learn. You got to learn to get your hopes up. Keep your hope in God no matter what it looks like. Because anybody that's still drawing breath has hope. Ecclesiastes 9:4 says, anyone who is among the living has hope. If you're here this morning, you're among the living. That means you have hope. There's hope for you. Tell somebody there's hope for you. Don't say that with sarcasm. I just see some husbands and wives. There's hope for you. But it's not too late for God. As long as you're among the living, I'm telling you, you look back at past hurts and failures and disappointments, and it can make you feel hopeless. No, we got to focus on God. Focus on Him, because there's not anything that He can't do. And you see, what your focus is on has everything to do with your hope level. Because if you're looking at the situation, if you're looking at the past, you're looking at the things going on in our world, it can cause you to get discouraged and to give up hope. But when your focus is on the Lord, it's amazing how your hopes begin to rise. A God who can do anything, a God who loves us. Get your hopes up. Hope is one of the three eternal virtues mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13:13. Eternal virtues. It says, these three remain in eternity: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Now, you know what? I hear a lot of messages about love, and that's a good thing. I mean, I've heard a lot, but probably not enough. I hear a lot of messages about faith, and as much as faith is preached today, it's probably not enough. But I especially don't hear a lot of messages about hope. And I'm telling you, we need to get our hopes up. In this generation where there's so many people that don't see a way out, they don't see a way for things to ever change, for things to get any better, they're so discouraged and depressed and down. Oh, how we need hope in this generation. But you see, without hope, we can't really even get to the place where we really have faith. Because Hebrews 11:1 tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for. If you haven't hoped for anything, how are you going to be able to get to the place where you really believe and you can receive? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the foundation for your faith. You see, when you hope, you have an anticipation, an expectation. You may not know how, you may not know when, but you know that God will come through for you. We need to remember Abraham, the father of faith. Romans chapter 4, verse 18 says, against all hope. That means looking at things in the natural, there's absolutely no way. You see, I think a lot of times believers today, they believe God for things where it might be unlikely, but they have a glimmer of hope. They can see how it could happen. How about we get to the place like Abraham, when even when there's no hope, we still hope. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. He faced the fact. You know, a lot of times people talk about, well, you know, I got to live in reality. Got to face facts. Abraham faced the fact, and yet he still hoped and believed. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Here this guy is 100 years old. His wife has always been barren, never been able to conceive, and yet he still hopes against hope. And in hope, he believes. I'm telling you, we need that kind of hope. 25 years is a long time for a miracle to come. And you know, most people give up before they get there. So I thought this would happen in a year, and they just give up. You know what will keep you going? Hope. Hope will give you the endurance that you need. In 2004, 16 years ago, the Lord brought Carmen and I back to Grace to serve as pastors. Just this month, last week, marked 16 years. And you know, the church had a building fund, had had for some time. And prior to that, for 20 years, they've been talking about moving and building. I remember when I was on staff in the 80s, we would go and look at properties sometimes. And when I came back in 2004, I knew that that's what the Lord wanted us to do. And so we started looking, and we finally found this property. And we moved into a shopping center in 2007, in January of 2007. We finished remodeling. We moved into there. And you know what? I wouldn't sign a lease for more than 18 months because I knew that we would have this building built in 18 months. Well, 7 years later, we moved in. And I just want you to know, what kept us going was hope. We had a conviction, an expectation. I mean, I thought it was going to happen in 18 months. But here's the thing, when it doesn't happen on your time frame, don't give up your hope. You keep your hopes up, because if you will, God will come through for you. Hope. Powerful. Let God restore your hope, and it will restore your endurance to keep going. In the NIV, 1 Thessalonians 1:3 speaks of your endurance inspired by hope. It'll give you what you need to keep you going. See, it'll keep you going until you graduate and you finally get that degree. It'll keep you going until you get those kids raised. It'll keep you going when you're believing God to help you with that diet and exercise. You're trying to lose those pounds. You know what happens a lot of the time? You go get on the scale and it went up instead of down, and you get discouraged and you don't have any more hope and you give up. But if you knew that you absolutely are going to get where you want to be, you wouldn't give up. That's the power of hope. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. We're not going to turn to the right or the left. We're going to hold to this hope because the God who promised is faithful. Yes, people let you down. Yes, things don't go the way you think they should. But God is always faithful, and He'll get you through the hard times, the difficult times. Hope, so powerful. Back in the day when Carmen and I were youth pastors, we did a lot of ski trips, and we taught a lot of teenagers how to ski, and I don't know how many, probably 100 or more. And there was a couple that we couldn't teach to ski. And it wasn't because they physically just couldn't do it. It was because they gave up the first day. In the first couple of hours, they gave up. They said, I can't do this. The ones that didn't give up, 100% of them learned to ski. Not very well, but they learned to ski. I mean, you know, you can't surpass your teacher kind of thing. Anyway, but they learned to ski. But here's what I want you to understand. The ones that said, I can't do this, they had no hope of being able to do it. If they knew, hey, I'm going to get it, I'll be skiing with everybody tomorrow, they wouldn't have quit. And that's what happens to so many people in so many different areas of life. Don't give up. See, you don't give up on your marriage. You don't give up on your finances. You don't give up on the call of God in your life. You don't give up on the vision, the things that God has put in your heart. But you keep going. That hope will get you through the dark times. There's a man named Charles Dutton. He became a successful Broadway star. And people were really shocked to find out that he had spent years in prison for manslaughter. And they wanted to know how he was able to make this transition from being a convict in prison for manslaughter to a star on Broadway. And he said, I never decorated my cell. Because he didn't plan on staying there. He knew he was just passing through. And I want to tell you this morning, yes, you might be in a hard place. Yes, you might be going through some things and it might seem dark and you don't see a way out. Don't decorate your cell. Keep your hope up that this is just something you're passing through right now. You're coming out on the other side and God has great things for you. That's what He said. Good plans to give you a hope and a future, not to harm you. Gives us the strength to keep doing what's right, to put away ungodly things, live in a way that pleases the Lord. I'm telling you, because when you lose hope, you don't care. Without hope, you always settle. You give up on your dreams. See, if you're going to Saltgrass at lunch, you're not going to make it today, to eat a steak, and somebody offers you a bologna sandwich at 11:30, you're just like, no. But you see, a lot of people give up that anticipation of what they've been expecting, and they settle. One of the worst advice I've ever heard somebody give a young person is, well, you know, you're getting older, you better find someone. I've seen a lot of that. Moving right along. I'm just telling you, we gotta keep our hope in God. You know, when your hope is it comes down, then everything about your life goes to a lower standard. There's a town where they were about to build a new dam, and it was going to make a new lake, and this town was going to be swallowed up under this lake. And so once people knew about the plan, everybody just let all their houses go. Nobody did anymore repairs, nobody painted anything, nobody kept up with anything, all their yards were overgrown, It was a mess. You know why? It didn't matter. And I'm just telling you, that's the way hopelessness gets, where it doesn't matter anymore. They don't try anymore. That's why it's so important that you keep your hopes up. Get your hopes up. If you need hope, look to the Scripture. You'll find encouragement. You'll find hope in the promises of God. Three times in Psalms 119, the psalmist says, I hope in your word. You see, when you look at the world, when you listen to the world, all you get is hopelessness and despair and discouragement. And I'm telling you, we have such an overload of it in our day and time when we're able to hear about every discouraging thing through modern media. Oh, how we need to move our focus and our attention to the Word of God and stay in the Word of God to keep our hope strong. See, when your hope begins to wane, you just need to get back in the Word, get in the promises of God, and it'll strengthen your hope. That's where we find hope. Lamentations 3:19-25 in the NIV says, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. You see, you start thinking about all the negatives, all of the struggles, all of the hardships and heartaches, and your soul gets downcast. But there's an answer. He says, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. What brought him hope? He remembered this. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. He remembered that God is faithful. He's going to be all right. And I'm telling you, if we'll just stay in the Word of the Lord, we'll always find the encouragement that we need. He goes on, he says, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for Him. The Lord is good to those who hope, whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. You see, God will be good to you if you'll just keep your hope in Him, keep seeking Him. He'll come through for you. Keep your hope in God. It's amazing how I've seen over the years, sometimes, you know, we believe God, and in a short time, something happens. And other times, we just have to keep going on with hope. Now, my wife, ever since she was 7, 6, had glasses. See, I'm wearing the glasses this morning. Kind of a new thing for me. I'm struggling with it. Ever since she was 6, she's had glasses or contacts. When she didn't have them on, she didn't see very well at all. I would make faces at her and stuff, but she would say, I can see you, but she couldn't see very well at all. And she had always had this hope that she would be free of glasses. So, 53 years later, it happened. Now, what happened is that she was diagnosed with cancer, and she went through chemo and all the steroids and all that go with that, and she came out on the other side of that with cataracts. And could see even worse, a lot worse. But then, praise the Lord, the doctors put brand new lenses in her eyes, and she doesn't wear glasses at all. Yeah. And you say, oh, well, that's just modern medicine. I want you to know, she had hope for 50-something years that there might be a day when she didn't wear glasses, and you know what? She might have gone through some hard place to get there, but it happened. As you know, in your life, there are some hard things that you go through. You might need to realize that you might come out on the other side with some victories, things you hoped for a long time, and you didn't see how it could ever happen. But it did. We just need to keep our hopes up. There was a school system in a large city had a special program where when children were real sick for a long time in the hospital, they would send a teacher to keep them up on their schoolwork. And one teacher told a story how she was assigned to go and teach English to a young man who was in the hospital. And she goes, and when she gets there, she's kind of taken aback because she didn't realize what terrible condition he was in. He had been burned very badly and was in great pain. And so she said she just kind of stumbled through the lesson just because she was so shocked by his condition. The next day she goes back again, and the nurses stopped her and they said, "What did you do to that little boy?" And she thought that she must have done something wrong, and so she started to apologize, and they said, "No, no, no." They said, "Ever since you came yesterday, he started responding to treatment. It's like he's decided to live." The little boy explained it a couple of weeks later. He said they wouldn't send a teacher to work on nouns and adverbs with a dying boy just because she was teaching him English. He decided he must not be dying. I want you to understand that's the power of hope. When you give up hope, something dies. You need to keep your hopes up. Don't let go of the promises, the visions, the dreams that God has given you. Now, I want to tell you, a lot of people have dreams that ain't from God. But you know what? When God gives you something, don't ever let go of that. No, you need to always hang on to the promises of God and hope that someday, somehow, God will come through because He is faithful. You get your hopes up. Start fighting back. I believe the Lord has you here for a reason this morning. Psalm 42 and 5, just another example where the psalmist says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him." See, we all have those times where we feel that and we get down, but you don't have to stay there. He says, "I will hope in God. I will praise Him." Make up your mind you're going to get your hopes up. Make up your mind you don't have to stay there. One last verse, Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope. I want to remind you this morning that He is the God of hope. Not the God of despair and discouragement. He is the God of hope. Let the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hope restored. Hope overflowing. And you know what that does? Hope restored will restore your strength, your endurance. It'll restore your peace, your joy. It'll restore your witness. Because I want you to know, in this world, people need to see hope. Amen. And you notice here it says that the Holy Spirit can fill you to overflowing with hope. You know, when it overflows, it gets on other people. We ought to have a contagious hope about us. I know some people might look at you funny, wonder what's wrong with you. But you know what? We ought to always have an encouraging word, always have something uplifting to say, always pointing people to a God who is faithful. Because I'm telling you, in the midst of a world of disappointment and despair, when you're talking about a God who says, "Those who hope in me will not be disappointed." Oh, what a God we serve.